We hear again from the Gospel text of John 16. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said to you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." In the name of Jesus. The Lord looks at the sinner and he sees a pile of bones. That's what Ezekiel shows us. The sinner wants to think that he's alive somehow, wants to think even that he's thriving. Maybe some shortcomings, we all have those, some weaknesses, some areas in need of work, a few flaws here and there, but things can be brought along, improved, changed. The sinner wants to think that he's alive, just maybe needs a little work. In this way, when the sinner then looks at Jesus, what he sees is, at best, a handyman. What's wrong in your life? Jesus can help fix it. Jesus is then reduced to Tim the tool man, except for spiritual problems. Do you want to know what Jesus is for? He's here to change your life, like changing a rundown house by putting in new floors and appliances. In this way of looking at it, the church becomes Home Depot or Lowe's. It's about having the right tools and supplies and methods for a changed life. When Jesus is reduced to being our handyman, and the church is reduced to being a place to change our lives, the sermon is reduced to being advice on how to be a better Christian or how to live each week. Everyone leaves the sermon thinking, "That was a great sermon. It gave me some good practical tips, some great tools on how to improve myself over the next week." And the Bible then is reduced to being a book of rules and methods and obedience. Is that what Jesus is? A changer of lives? A spiritual Tim the tool man? Is that what the church is? A place to improve and change your life for the next week? Is your spiritual life a matter of a broken down house in need of updating and changing? When the Lord looks at the sinner, he gives a much harsher assessment. He looks at the sinner and he sees a pile of dead bones. Not a sick person even in the hospital bed who needs good medical care to be changed. Not a person who's like a broken down house in need of some improvement. Dead bones. That's what the Lord sees. No life, no hope, nothing even to change. It's a carcass. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Can they? Can bones make themselves alive? Can bones move to decide for Christ? Can they call God into the heart? Could our Lord have found a more bleak picture to describe us than a valley of dead bones? But this is good, actually. It's good to see ourselves as dead bones because it's good to be removed from false hope of reviving ourselves, of any sham of the Christian life where we would make it a matter of change or improvement or learning to obey. But if the Christian life is not an exercise of improving yourself, of learning to obey, of changing, then what is it? It is the life of a pile of dead bone sinner, having breath breathed into him so that over against everything that he is and everything he ever thought he had the potential to be, over against a dead bone life with no hope, he stands up before God living and breathing. He stands up out of the grave, which no bones can ever stand up out of, except that God, the giver of all life, breathes into him the breath of life, bringing forth before God a living person. The Christian life is the life of being brought out of death into life, the life of breath breathed into bones. Ezekiel 37:9. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. God breathes into you, and you live. There is a strange thing about that word breath in both the Ezekiel text, but also in the gospel text, because in both the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New, the word for breath is the same as the word for spirit. In Greek, it's the word pneuma, which we have in some of our English words that have to do with breath, such as pneumonia. Pneuma is breath. It is also spirit. So the spirit is breathing spirit into the dead bones. In the creed, we confess the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, that is our holy pneuma. It's the Spirit of God breathing life into the sinner, into you and me. And our children. How does the Holy Spirit breathe life into you? If it is true to see the sinner as dead in his trespasses, as unable to make a decision or choice to save himself, unable to breathe life into himself, then how will the Holy Spirit give life to the sinner? As he is on his way to the cross, and in giving the promise that he would ascend to the Father to be our intercessor, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. John 16:15. Jesus sends to us the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, the sinner now lives. How do we know the Holy Spirit? Because we feel spiritual? Because we feel peace and calm? Because we feel like we're on the same wavelength as God, whatever nonsense like that might even mean. Jesus says nothing here about our feelings. The Spirit, Jesus says, will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. How do we know the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is known to us and is with us when the words of Jesus are being declared. In the proclamation of the cross, the Holy Spirit is there. By those words, he's bestowing life. In the word of forgiveness spoken from one Christian to another, the Holy Spirit is there declaring Jesus and bestowing life. We may think that our words of forgiveness to each other are just words of human reconciliation, maybe even trying to make a deal. Okay, I'll forgive you. Maybe you can forgive me too. But these are words of the Holy Spirit. He is in them. He is coming to us, binding himself to us in those words of the forgiveness of sins by Jesus Christ. When we speak the words of the cross, the words of forgiveness, the words of grace, that is the Holy Spirit using us as his servants to bestow life. In the words of baptism, The Holy Spirit was there even as we were infants, if that's when we were baptized. The Holy Spirit is there, cleansing the conscience, bestowing the holy name, breathing life into the sinner. In the midst of Christians who have been gathered to the Lord's name on Sunday or some other day to receive the holy body and blood, the Holy Spirit is there. He is in those words that Jesus spoke as his last will and testament before he died. Take and eat, take and drink, my body, my blood, for the forgiveness of your sin. The Holy Spirit, in bringing the words to the church, is there declaring the words of Jesus to us, bestowing life, binding us together in Christ. So Jesus sends to the church the Holy Spirit. He sends to you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings to you the words received by him from Jesus. These are the words of the crucifixion, the words of Jesus dying for and justifying every sinner. They are the words bringing to us the body and blood of the cross in the sacrament. They are the words of gospel we are given to speak to one another in the congregation and in our families. The words of all sins forgiven, every sinner reconciled to God and with each other. In these words, which the Holy Spirit received from Jesus, and which he now has declared in the church, the Holy Spirit is taking sinners, piles of dead bones in God's eyes, and he is breathing into them the breath of life, breathing into you and me, because that's what it means to hear the word of gospel, the word of the forgiveness of sins in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.